24/7 Business with Michael Avery.
FinTech Group Capital Appreciation, which listed as a SPAC some years ago, hasn't been immune to COVID-19 pressure, with many major businesses holding back on CapEx. So the group saying today that there's still strong demand for its services, upping its interim dividend by 50% to 3.75 cents, a payout of just under 50 million rand. And CapEx business includes providing tech that banks and other financial service companies then use to add more features to their digital platforms. And it also sells payment terminals like point of sales devices to banks and retailers, and it's got blue chips like the big four banks, Discovery, Vitality, Time Bank. You get the idea. Joint CEO Bradley Sachs is on the line from New York. Bradley, welcome. In these results, you note that CapEx continues to attract a considerable number of new customers to your client base of blue chips. Can you just give us an insight into the sort of new customers that you're onboarding?
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having us. We started as a business primarily with Standard Bank and expanded to work with FNB and Absa and Nedbank. And over time, we have continued to attract new customers all the time, like Time Bank and Discovery. We have then moved into different industry verticals, not only focusing on banks and financial institutions, but have worked in the retail space as well. And so there we have clients like Pick and Pay and TFG, Woolworths Financial Services. We've also expanded internationally into the Asian markets and in Europe. And with our most recent development for Halo Dot, which turns any Android device into a payment acceptance device, that is a capability and technology that has global applicability. And so we are now pursuing opportunities across the Asia, the Southern Asian region, across Eastern and Western Europe, and also the Americas. We have a potential opportunity in South America as well that we're pursuing. And so what we found is that technology travels across borders really well, and some of the innovation that we have pursued in South Africa has global application.
And we're discovering that all across the Silicon Cape, startups, entrepreneurs are doing exceptionally well taking their products global. But it isn't as easy as that. Often it requires the networks that come with either very established venture capitalists or angel investors who come from corporate and have that experience behind them. And that certainly, if you look at the Capital Appreciation Board, full of corporate royalty, so to speak, in South Africa, what you also bring to the table. It's interesting to see the humble lay-by, and that's made a comeback. You've acquired a stake in that Layup Africa business. It's a startup. It offers recurring payments for lay-by purchases. What do you like about the buy now, pay later model aligned to this new technology that's seeing it make such a big comeback?
So the buy now, pay later segment has grown globally because of the Gen X desire to avoid traditional credit. And while buy now, pay later is nothing other than credit, it's packaged differently, and in its different packaging, it has attracted a large market segment of customers who are willing to take credit but don't want a traditional credit card. And as a result, the market is huge. We also find that in South Africa, and specifically, the lay-by sector is an area that has administratively been very expensive and difficult to deal with, particularly for large corporates. And if you can digitalize that, you can make it much more efficient, you can ensure completion rates, and you can also help eliminate the usurious rates that sometimes get assessed when lay-bys are not completed. And so it's a win-win for consumers and also merchants.
And then lastly, Bradley, the Financial Mail ran a cover story on the rise of one of your subsidiaries, GovChat, and it's an interesting story. I think Open Secrets were the organization that first ran an expose on what it calls the government welfare industrial complex, and GovChat was founded by a chap by the name of Eldridge Jordan, who's a struggle activist back in 2016, and won a contract to provide services with the COVID social relief of distress grant. And we've obviously had the issue with Net One, which raises big flags whenever we see the, you know, private interests dispensing any kind of service to grant recipients in the country. Can you just tell me a little bit more about GovChat, which delivered this particular service for free to government? I think many people are raising their eyebrows because they say, who does anything for nothing for government?
Yes, so Michael, I certainly don't question the capabilities of Black Sash and Open Secrets, but I think the article was unfair and it maligned GovChat, which started with really great intentions of connecting citizens to government. And the nature of its platform was such that it allowed for very rapid development of solutions. When President Ramaphosa announced an SRD grant process, it took us only 5 days to be able to develop a solution on the platform. And you've got to remember, this was at the height of the pandemic. Mm. And so from our perspective, we were willing to allow GovChat, and it's not a subsidiary, it's an affiliate. It's an important distinction, so I just want to make that point. Mm. To use the capital that we had allocated and redirect the capital to assist government. This was part of our social enterprise development funding. And our view was the most impoverished and vulnerable of South Africa needed a solution. Let's help them with a solution, and we did that for free, with no ulterior motive. There is no doubt that GovChat's intention is to make money and to charge for its services, but the SRD grant process was done out of true altruism because of the platform capabilities that we had. And to malign GovChat on an unfounded basis, I think, mm-hmm. was completely inappropriate and unfair. And in that report, there is not one instance that any of the parties point to where they have found GovChat to be wanting or acting inappropriately. It was done on a sort of prophylactic, proactive way of saying they may well do something inappropriate just because Net One did something inappropriate, but that's not right. So we were very disappointed with how the reporting was done. There has been no contractual impropriety, there has been no data breaches, and GovChat has acted absolutely with integrity through this process.
Have you engaged with Open Secrets and Black Sash? I read the report and they don't find any unlawful conduct, but I'm sure you'll agree, Bradley, that where millions of people are vulnerable to sophisticated commercial exploitation, we do need to hold the private sector up to rigorous levels of transparency and accountability. And that's not to say that GovChat is another Net One. I'm just saying that we have been burnt in the past, and I think society is rightfully skeptical. Have you engaged the authors of the report? Did they make any attempt to engage you?
Michael, that is the part that we're so disappointed in. At no point in time while they were preparing the report did they approach us for comment or question. It was only Rob Rose, the day before the report was issued, who contacted me and Eldred and asked for comment. We hadn't seen the report. We didn't know what the report contained. We didn't understand the basis of the questions. But Rob, I think, did a fair job in presenting our side, but certainly the rest of the report was done without any of our input.
That is disappointing. Sort of journalism 101 is to hear the other side. Are you going to be reaching out to try and set the record straight? Because it is an unfortunate perception or narrative that gets planted and created that can sometimes run ahead of the facts.
Yeah, so we were waiting to see what the follow-up consequences were. We are ready to engage with both Black Sash and Open Secrets, and we have nothing to hide. We've done the company has done absolutely nothing wrong, and has been relatively transparent in all of its dealings with various bodies. And you're quite right that when you deal with government and public interests, particularly the most vulnerable, you should be held up to account for that. And we're happy to do that, but don't malign the company because there's been another bad actor in the space and associate NetOne's conduct with GovChat, because that's just not appropriate.
That was the joint CEO of Capital Appreciation, Bradley Sachs, responding to a recent Open Secrets report, and very disappointing to hear that the other side wasn't sought before publication of that report. Otherwise, very good results, and the organization sitting atop a really interesting fintech business that is starting to develop real heft and scale and attracting serious investor interest. You're listening to Hot Business.